This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
You're listening to Roseanne Murray, and I have with me in the studio today Liz Hogan, who is the Client Services Manager for MS Waikato. Welcome, Liz.
Good morning.
Good morning. Great to have you here with us today. We're going to have a little chat around, you know, what is MS? But firstly, maybe just a little bit about MS Waikato, the organisation, and also your role as well.
Sure. MS Waikato is a support and information organisation. We're a not-for-profit and we've been around for 62 years now, so we're very well established in the community. We support 308 people with MS and 32 families with Huntington's disease. So to explain the conditions a little bit now, if that's all right.
Yeah, sure.
So MS is a chronic autoimmune disease which affects the central nervous system, which is the spine, brain and eyes, by damaging the protective myelin sheath around the nerve fibres. So that translates into a whole lot of symptoms, including things like weakness, fatigue, visual issues, partial paralysis, loss of balance, numbness, tingling, bladder and bowel issues, pain, coordination and cognitive issues. So a lot going on with MS, potentially. And then Huntington's disease, the other condition that we support, is a family disease. It's hereditary and it's progressive, with the breakdown of nerve cells, which cause physical, psychological and cognitive symptoms. So that sadly leads to eventual death.
Right. Yeah. And have they ever sort of come out with, you know, finding out how do the people get multiple sclerosis?
Well, that we'd like to know.
Yeah.
No, we don't know. There's a number of theories around where you grew up, where you were born. It's not hereditary.
Right.
We don't really know what causes it.
Yeah, which is such a shame, isn't it? And I suppose that's one of the things that probably worldwide there's a lot of research going on about, what are the potential causes of it, I suppose. And that's the, once upon a time it would have been the $1 million question, but it's probably now at least the $1 billion question.
Absolutely.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. All right. So, carry on.
Just to go back with, so now I've explained the conditions, we support people affected by the condition. So the people who have the conditions, but also others around them, particularly with Huntington's disease, it's also with the family members. The things we're not, which is really important, we're not an emergency service and we're not an acute service. So we're not 24-hour. We work Monday to Friday. We're all part-time and we're about support, advocacy, information.
And look, that's so crucial, isn't it, these days? And I've, you know, been fortunate to have a conversation with, you know, a few other groups that, you know, do that sort of support and advocacy work. And it's an area that is so vital for either the people themselves that are going through, suffering from whatever disease it might be, but also their whānau as well.
Absolutely.
You know, it's just having that support mechanism, or where do we turn to? And I would say also having the opportunity to talk with other people going through that, or, you know, whānau family that are going through that as well. Yeah. So what are sort of some of the services you provide, Liz?
Okay, well, one of the things that is really important we do is we do face-to-face service with people, which is increasingly becoming rare, so it's really important. We will go into people's homes if that's where they'd like to see us. We have a really nice office down in Palmerston Street in the Kia Roha building. Or we can meet people in the community if that's their choice. So being face-to-face, so it's not just a phone service or an email or text sort of thing. It's very much being with people. We run groups. We run support groups. More recently, we've got a social group going where we're meeting once a month and doing a pub quiz or bowling or something fun. We have a gym class. The gym class has been going for many years at Anytime Fitness on Clarence Street. Two mornings a week with a trained instructor who gives our clients an individual program. So it's
Yeah, and I'd say that's vitally important. I mean, there's been so much research done, hasn't there, about physical activity, you know, not only enhances, you know, your physical well-being, but also your mental well-being as well, isn't it? And to actually probably be able to go to a class where you've got other people probably mm-hmm. with similar conditions, and you've got a fitness program that's been specifically tailored for you, vitally important.
Absolutely. And that one we actually do in conjunction with Parkinson's. So that's a really nice coming together of two organisations. And for some of the people, what they like the best is they usually go over and have a coffee across the road afterwards. So that's social, getting out, having a purpose, doing something good, and you're absolutely right, physical activity with MS is really important. We used to think people shouldn't do it, that it tired them and they didn't do well. That's been turned on its head, and we need people to be moving.
And I think also too, just to try and you know, provide a sense of, I don't really like using this word, but normality. You know, that yes, you know, you've got this condition, however, you know, you can still, you know, be able to sort of try and still have some normality, whether it's that social connection, you know, or just, you know, some sort of physical activity just that you know, can do.
And going to a commercial gym where there are members of the public doing their thing at the same time is really nice.
Yeah, they're not locked away.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah,
yep.
And I think we've seen that. That's one of the, I believe anyway, one of the great things that has changed around the social norms is, you know, people previously with any type of disability were virtually locked away, yes. weren't they? Whereas now it's that whole integration into mainstream and, yeah, just that opportunity is to say, just to like, I go to Anytime Fitness, just like, you know, the next
absolutely.
Person. So that's a great plug for Anytime Fitness as well.
Oh, they've been very good to us. And we have a walking group, which every Saturday morning at Hamilton Lake, there's a group of, well, it's actually ladies predominantly, who meet, they walk. So that's been really cool. It's led by one of our MS clients. They meet 9 o'clock in the morning by the veranda there. And those that want to walk the 4Ks around can do it. Those that want to walk out a little bit and come back, because they don't want to walk the foot or can't walk the full distance, can do that. And then they go to a cafe. So those that don't want to walk at all can just come to the cafe.
Yeah, just to meet and greet with the people. Yep. And it's a lovely little setting there, isn't it? You know, just to look out over the lake and, you know, enjoy some fresh air at the same time, isn't it?
Absolutely. A couple of the other things we do is, as funds allow, so it's not every year, but we have run a family camp at Tortura Springs, which has been fantastic. But that is where funding comes in, is very, very important. And we have some funding now to support, some capacity to support people with some counselling, because that's a very important aspect too with MS, getting your head around it and dealing with the changes.
Oh, look, it's critical, I believe, and it's probably, you know, very similar to, you know, people with any other sort of, you know, sort of condition that they have, and especially sort of a long-term type condition, is, you know, what are those coping mechanisms that we can use to sort of help us get through the week and the month and the year? Most definitely. Just going, if I can, I know I'm going off script a little bit, you'll find this, but just with MS, and you talked about predominantly it's mainly females that are doing the walking around the lake on a Saturday. Is it gender specific? Is it, what's the split between male and female?
Great question. It is gender specific. We have three females to one male who are diagnosed with MS.
Wow.
And the average age for being diagnosed is sort of mid-30s.
Wow, that blows me away. I you know, you sort of sometimes you think it's a sort of a later in life type of condition, but no.
Not at all. And potentially you might think that because historically, before we've got some really good medications now, which is halting progression, but historically MS was quite visible in the community because people did accumulate disability and many of them did end up in wheelchairs or quite disabled, which is no longer the case for many. With good medication, people are doing well. But in the past, if you said MS, everyone seemed to have an image of someone in a wheelchair or someone bedridden that was very disabled. We have got 309 people with MS. Most of those are living their lives, managing symptoms, having families, playing sport, you know, doing well in careers, just living a life. And you wouldn't know they had MS by looking at them.
Yeah, that's so true. And there's probably more people out there that do have MS that you just, you know, sort of somehow they've got slipped through the cracks and things like that.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely. Anyway, I think back to you.
Oh, well, let's talk about what support we're
doing. Yeah, that's right.
So we also attend appointments with people. So we have a very close relationship with Waikato Hospital Neurology Department. I work closely with the neurology nurse specialist and with the neurologists, and we'll sit in on appointments to support people just as another pair of ears. And not instead of their family member or the person they want, but as well as. We go to GP appointments, we'll get involved with workplace disputes, we'll get involved with wins, with negotiations for people when they're feeling vulnerable around that, and also directing them to other health services. Disability Support Link, physio, OT, orthotics, counselling, all those things that we're not, but we know some really good people that can provide that service.
And I know we were talking off air before around the number of years that you've been involved with MS and one or two of your colleagues as well. So I think it's 20 plus years or something like that.
Well, we're collectively coming up 50.
Right.
Yes, I'm coming up 20. Our wonderful Janet, who runs the place, really, she's been there 20 years. And Karen, my colleague who does the client work with me, has been there for 10 years.
Right.
So a lot of experience between us.
Yes, and we better do a shout out to Janet. Janet's the person that reached out to me around coming on to the show, and then she beautifully sidesteps and says, oh, yes, Liz will be the person that will be coming along. So that's great. And look, having, you know, collectively had 50 years experience, you know, just so be reassuring, I think, to a lot of our, you know, people, especially those that are new to the MS world, the person themselves or their whānau.
Yeah,
most definitely. And you sort of, you know, become like that one-stop shop, don't you, you know?
Well, I think we're all very passionate about what we do. And things have evolved over time. Things have changed a lot in the years I've been there.
Yeah. Obviously, medication is one, isn't it? And probably the, you know, as we've already talked about, you know, the social norms about, you know, getting out and going to the gym and going for those weekly walks and things like that, you know, whereas before that wouldn't have happened.
No, that's right.
No. I love the fact that you'll go to the people. We talk about that quite often around how people are quite often resistant to having to step outside and go to appointments or go to some sort of peer group session. But the fact that you are willing to actually go to their place and meet up with them, I think that's vitally important, especially for that first sort of touchstone.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. When someone's first given that diagnosis, it can be very frightening.
Mm.
There can be a lot of emotion. Being able to sit in their lounge room, and if they need to cry, they need to cry. Whereas in a hospital setting or an office setting or a community, often people are being awfully brave.
Yep.
So it's a real privilege to sit with people in that space and support them in those initial, you know, days and weeks.
Yep. Yeah. And do you also provide sort of some ideas to them, you know, if they are starting to struggle with, you know, getting around home or just some sort of, what are sort of some maybe different sort of resources or equipment or things that can help them more? I suppose you can do that when you actually get to see the home as well.
Absolutely. It's really good. We can identify. Sometimes people don't know what they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So we can make suggestions or let them know what's available to them. But I guess too, the other side of the home visits and meeting with people, I'm really big on lifestyle changes. So just to clarify our role, we don't really get into the medication side. There is a nurse specialist, Karen Thomas, who's wonderful and does that. So we kind of, we're sort of doing everything else. So then I'm looking at with people about changing their lifestyle or looking at living their best life. So things like exercise, like diet, not smoking, not drinking excessively, good sleep hygiene, good mental health, all those things to acknowledge that they have a condition that's lifelong and life-changing.
Mm-hmm.
So what can they do as an individual to live their best lives and to be as healthy as they absolutely can going forward? So that's a lot of the work we do with supporting people to make some really positive changes.
Mm, I love that term, living your best life. And it's, you know, sort of, you know, you've got the condition, which is, you know, long-term, and so it's, you know, what can you do yourself? Mm-hmm. Yeah, really love that term. That's great. So you've got a few things that are coming up. We've spoken about what you do, the service you provide. You go into the homes to talk to the people, and you're providing some social occasions. You've got the gym that we've talked about. I know you've got a few events coming up, haven't you?
We do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Big one next week, obviously.
Yes, so next week is our MS Awareness Week. And we'll be doing a collection in Chartwell on Thursday. But on Wednesday in the evening, we have our neurological... Every year we have a big neurological evening where we get neurologists from the hospital to speak and some other people of interest for our clients and then have a supper. So it's really open to the public. We ask for a donation if people are able to. And that is on 6:30 at the Link.
Right, next so Wednesday. That's Wednesday the 17th, and that's at, what time was it again, 6:30?
6:30
at the Link, which is on Te Araha Street.
We would like people to RSVP to us, though, so we for catering and cheers.
Right, so we're just going to put you on the spot now and actually just ask you, how do people contact you?
Probably the easiest way is to email mswaikato@mswaikato.org.nz.
All right, that's quite easy. mswaikato@mswaikato.org.nz. That's great. And so the actual awareness, MS Awareness Week, and that runs from next Monday the 15th for the whole week, doesn't it?
It does.
15th of September to like the 21st of September. So you've got the evening on the Wednesday the 17th. And then so that Thursday, is it that Thursday the 18th?
Or yes, you've got a collection at Chartwell.
A collection.
So we have a stall in Chartwell Square.
Right. So if any of our listeners or anyone you know of that's going to be around Chartwell on Thursday the 18th, there'll be an opportunity to support MS Waikato through their collection, that they'll have a stall there.
Yes.
That's great. So is there anything else that's been done around the whole Awareness Week that's coming up next week?
We are publishing and on Facebook some stories of some of our clients and their personal journeys.
Right. And without, I suppose, giving away, you know, any confidentiality, get the word out, mm-hmm. You know, is there any stories that you would like to share with us around, you know, any of your clients or just, you know, maybe some progression or changes that you might have seen in some people since, you know, you've been able to support them along the way? I mean, I know we've talked about, you know, helping them to live their best life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there sort of, you know, have you seen any examples of, you know, someone that maybe has changed, you know, they have now got a little bit more physical activity in their life or changed their diet or something like that?
We do see that sort of thing all the time. And I think the connecting with others has been really huge, particularly our young ones. As I've said, it's more women than men, and the women are sort of mid-30s. So getting them together with other women of a similar age and being able to share their stories and to support one another has been really good.
And I would say that you know, someone that's maybe, you know, been living with MS for quite a few years, you know, there's some trial and error, and I'm sure that, you know, they would have some, you know, good advice that they could pass on to someone that's maybe just recently being diagnosed. And as you say, you know, sort of similar age grouping, you know, and whether you're a young person navigating working life or it might be someone who's, especially for females, you know, young mum, juggling, you know, the condition, but also with young children and all the trials and tribulations that come with that. Or, you know, it might be someone who's a little bit older and sort of, you know, now, you know, sort of at that grandparent stage and things like that.
Yeah, no, it's that peer mentoring and getting together is hugely important, and people really like that. I think someone newly diagnosed who can meet someone who is perhaps 5 years further down the track can be very reassuring.
Yeah, most definitely. Oh, that's great to hear. And obviously that whole, I loved how you said before about the walking sessions that happen on a Saturday at the Hamilton Lake. It's actually led by someone who has MS.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's great that they can see that they can actually take charge of this.
Wonderful.
Yeah, no, it's great. Oh, look, there's some fantastic work that's happening out there. So how could people get involved or support MS?
Great question. Well, as a not-for-profit, the fundraising and the finances are always really important. And we've had some amazing people come out and do some amazing things. Sorry.
That's all right. We'll let you have a sip of water in between.
So if anyone's out there that would like to do something, we've had a gentleman called Terry Slattery. He came out of nowhere for us and basically said, I'm biking the length of New Zealand and I'm raising money for your organisation, which we were just blown away.
Yeah.
He raised over 12 $1,000 for us.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
It was phenomenal. We've had a client make marmalade and sell it and give us the proceeds. We've had one of the clients who's organised a few years now, Whangamatara Quiz Night. Mm-hmm. Again, we've got the profits. I'm a hypnotist. We've got a gentleman who runs the Kawhia Cruise every year. Adam Muir, he's pretty amazing, and there's a car cruise basically, raises funds for us. And then Ruth Mulcrest, who is the clinical nurse specialist for Huntington's disease, she walked up and down Kakapuka 10 times.
Oh my goodness. I've done it once, that was enough.
Exactly, and she raised over $13,000, which was specifically for psychological support for our Huntington's clients, so counselling support, psychological support. So what I'm saying with that is, if someone's doing an event, running a half marathon or doing a walk or baking or something and would like to donate the proceeds, or we'd really encourage you, and that's incredible when that happens.
Yeah. So how would, someone do that? Because obviously people, a little bit aware of, is this a scam or not? And, do you have some sort of like marketing collateral or, how can sort of someone sort of come across as it's been a genuine sort of fundraiser?
I would suggest that they get in touch with Janet, mm-hmm. janet@msykato.org.nz, and have a conversation with Janet, because that's absolutely her department. She's very good at it, and she would advise and support someone. We do have a Give a Little page, so that is another avenue that people can just go straight onto that if they felt safer doing it that way.
Right. Okay. No, that's great. So if anyone's got any thoughts of, doing some treks up the hills or some sort of biking. Yeah. But as you said, it can be a car wash, it could be a raffle, it could be baking, you name it, a quiz night. Yeah, just be creative out there and look to donate the proceeds to MS Waikato to support all our people out there at the moment. That's a great idea. And so I know you've got the collection happening next Thursday at Chartwell. But do you do, any other times where you're needing volunteers for any events or anything like that?
Yes, we do at times, and basically Janet will email out to our client base and ask for the golf tournament that we do. Did I mention the golf tournament?
No, you haven't yet.
We run a golf tournament.
Yeah.
Once a year, which we appreciate some support with that.
Yep. And when's that next coming up?
We haven't got the dates yet. It's at Nahanapuri Golf Course, and it is usually sort of March, April.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Hopefully when the weather's still quite nice by then.
And it's very popular. It sells out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's always full.
Oh, that's great. And so Nahanapuri, it's a nice little country golf club out there, isn't it? Yeah, it's nice getting out into the fresh air and into the countryside.
The other thing I was going to mention, we talked about how people can get involved and support. Mm-hmm. We were talking about the other one, the big one, is the Gift in Wales.
Right. And that's starting to get, I'm not sure if popularity is the right word, but more awareness. There's a lot more awareness about that, isn't it, around, maybe putting a little bit aside to be able to donate or bequeath, I suppose. Yeah.
After people have looked after their loved ones, yes.
Yeah, I think that's, a great idea. So, again, if someone is interested in that, how do they go about it? Is it a matter of contacting Janet, is it?
Contact Janet.
Good on, Janet.
And we do have a brochure with details on how to do that.
Yeah, probably. And is it up on your website page as well, or...? It is, yeah. So if anyone's interested in knowing how they can maybe look at, donating through a will to bequeath some financial support to MS Waikato, you can either go onto the MS Waikato website or email janet@mswaikato.org.nz for further information in that space. Hey, no, that's great. It sounds like you've got some great events that are either on now or coming up, and especially obviously we've got the MS Awareness Week next week. Actually, we're starting to get out of time. Told you we'd go fast.
Yes.
So what's something that you'd really like our listeners to either better understand about MS or about MS Waikato itself?
Okay. Well, there are two things about MS that I would like people to understand. One really important one is that not everyone ends up severely disabled in a wheelchair. And less and less without better treatments. In the past, as I said before, that people seem to assume if you had MS, you became very disabled, had a terrible life, and ended up in a wheelchair. That is not the normal trajectory. That's not what we expect mm-hmm. with most people. There's always the odd outlier.
So that's very, very reassuring, I'm sure, for a lot of people these days who have the advancement of medicine, I suppose, and the techniques that they use.
I mean, so many people have come into my office newly diagnosed, and that's their biggest, I always ask, what's your biggest fear? Most people will say ending up in a wheelchair, and most people don't. So that's something. But the other thing is, but you look so well is something, or you look so good is something people with MS hear often, and they can be feeling absolutely terrible, and they can have so much going on in their body with you know, brain fog or fatigue or pain or numbness, cognitive changes, but they look great. And people don't always appreciate the challenge and how hard things can be. So I guess it's to not judge. I will tell you one story that I'm allowed to tell you.
All right, very good.
Was a client of mine who was a very keen snowboarder. And as she had a family of two kids and a husband, and as her MS did progress, the snowboarding became really difficult. But that was the one thing in her life that brought her, not the one thing, one of the things that brought her a lot of joy. So eventually she had a parking permit. She got where she could rest up the day before, go up the mountain, park in the disability space. So, of course, she would be judged for that, getting out of the car to go snowboarding.
Yes.
But within the day, she could do two runs. Do one run, have a rest, do another run, and then sit in the cafe and her family would carry on. For her, that was just such an important thing. But anyone looking on at her would think, why is she parking the disability park? Well, she can snowboard, she's fine. But what it took, the effort and what it took for her to be able to do that one thing.
Yeah, and I probably just, demonstrated her determination, you know, that I'm going to live life to the fullest.
Yes.
And I'm going to do things that bring me joy. And also, too, I suppose, with her whānau as well, you know, being able to, you know, to experience that with them. And it is always a challenge, isn't it, you know, when you have a disability that might not seem to be as obvious to the outside world at times. You know, there'll be times when she'll go home and she'll be so exhausted she can't do a lot for some time. And, yes, people are very quick to judge, unfortunately.
I've had other people tell me that they've got the disabled car park because, you know, fatigue and whatnot. They've said they feel compelled to limp as they go into the supermarket because they're being judged because they actually look fine, but they have pain or they're off balance or there's a lot going on. So I guess the message with that is don't judge.
No, that's right. You know, and unless you can walk in the shoes of that person, how can you actually judge them and know what they're going through? Yeah. Hey, look, we're now really out of time. So, look, Liz, thank you very much for coming in on behalf of MS Waikato. It's great to hear about the amazing mahi that you are doing out there and about the Awareness Week that's coming up next week from the 15th to the 21st of September.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.